Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say,
if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us,
then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us.
Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us.
Then over us would have gone the raging waters.
Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth.
We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
A reading from Job, the 38th chapter. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling, but he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even wind and sea obey him? O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It happened at least twice. Jesus rescuing his disciples in trouble on a boat in the Sea of Galilee. One of the times it happened was after he fed the 5,000 men. Jesus had sent his disciples on ahead of him, and after an evening of prayer, was rocking across the sea in the middle of the night, intending apparently to meet up with his disciples on the other side. That's the occasion when Peter stepped out of the boat. And then there is the earlier occasion, recorded in today's gospel, when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples, sleeping on the cushion where the person manning the tiller, that is, steering the boat, normally sat. It had been a long day of teaching. As Mark summarized at the end of last Sunday's gospel reading, with many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to the crowds as they were able to hear it. Then, when evening had come, Jesus began to cross the lake with his disciples. Remember, at least four of them had earned a living fishing on this body of water. It was not a calm crossing. Mark gives a concise report of the problem. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. With their experience, the two sets of brothers, Andrew and Peter, and James and John, were unlikely to have panicked. They weren't landlubbers. They knew the score. They had heard the stories, perhaps even had personally known men who had perished in just such circumstances. And now, they and their beloved teacher were up against it. And he who had healed the sick and cleansed the lepers and cast out demons was sleeping. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? This is the first of four vital questions in this reading. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They had no question about what was going on. Their lives were on the line. They had been trying everything they knew to preserve themselves and their teacher. But even bailing as fast as they could, with all their strength, they were falling behind. The boat was filling. It wasn't a question of if they would sink. At this point, it was only a matter of when. And there wasn't much time. They had only minutes left, perhaps even less. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Don't you care? That's not an unfamiliar question, is it? You might not, as the disciples, speak it aloud to the Lord, but I'd be very surprised if this question has never crossed your mind. As you mourn the death of one you loved, as you grieved the child you could not conceive, as you received a pink slip, or heard once again, "I'm sorry, we appreciate your interest, but we've decided on someone else." As you received the diagnosis that meant life would never be the same again. Lord, do you not care that I am perishing? In words that David spoke, and Jesus as well, why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. In the midst of the storm, the disciples were in great fear that the Lord was not on their side, and therefore the flood would sweep them away. The torrent would go over them. They would be lost in the raging waters. That's why they came to Jesus saying, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Theirs was an existential question. What's going on here, God? I trusted you. Have you abandoned me? Don't you care? Can you relate to them? Jesus responded to his disciples, rebuking the wind and saying to the sea, "Peace, be still." In the resulting dead calm, Jesus had two questions for his disciples. Why are you so afraid? And also, have you still no faith? Why are you so afraid? The disciples might have pointed to the water that had been filling the boat, the wind that had been driving it, and the waves that were carrying it there. They might have said, "Because we were at the point of death." But those answers don't really get to what Jesus was asking. His question is much deeper. We know this from his follow-up. Why are you so afraid? God has said, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Have you still no faith? Have you still no faith? What sort of faith were they lacking? They had said, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, this question doesn't really reveal much about what the disciples may or may not have believed Jesus was able to do. Rather, it suggests that they weren't certain of his concern for them. "Do you not care?" they had asked, with the implication that perhaps he didn't. Jesus' question here is much like the one the Lord asked in the Garden of Eden. "Adam, where are you?" Jesus didn't ask this question because he needed information. He knew why his disciples were afraid, knew that their faith was lacking. His questions are to reveal the truth to his disciples, to call them to him. They don't have any other hope. There's no other who can save them. His questions, as much as his stilling of the wind and waves, reveal that he does care. The disciples have no answer for their Lord. And of course, he doesn't really need one from them. But they have one more question that in great fear they ask one another. "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" There wasn't really any doubt as to the answer, is there? Could this be any other than the one who shut in the sea with doors when it burst from the womb and prescribed limits for it and said, "Thus far you shall come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed?" They had experienced what the introit appointed for today from Psalm 107 records. In their peril, their courage melted away. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Clearly, their teacher was none other than the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. By a word, he once called all things into being, and with a word, He can cause them to cease. Lord, do you not care that we are perishing? At times, when you are being buffeted by the storms of life, when it seems you will be overwhelmed and sink beneath their wrath and fury, it may well appear that the Lord does not care. At such times, though, be assured, appearances are deceiving. At such times, you need to ignore the evidence of your eyes and rely instead on seeing with your ears. Lord, do you not care that we are perishing? His word assures you, oh yes, I care. I care more than you could ever even have imagined. I care so much that I came to join you, that I took on the form of a servant, that I joined you in human flesh. You can see how much I care when you hear that I was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. When you hear about my going about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil. You can see how much I care when you hear that I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That I myself bore your sins in my body on the tree, laying down my life for you. Everything happened exactly as Isaiah had prophesied of me. I was wounded for your transgressions. I was crushed for your iniquities. Upon me was the chastisement that brought you peace. And with my stripes, you are healed. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift you receive from me, is eternal life. Lord, do you not care that we are perishing, we ask. With loving concern, our Savior responds, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? In the midst of our fear and doubt, He would have us remember his words. God loved the world in this way. He gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And he who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for you all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? All of this, the truth of Jesus' incarnation and suffering and death for you, means that when life's fiercest tempest rage, and when they seem certain to overwhelm you, you can pray with absolute confidence the words of Psalm 119. O Lord, I am yours. Save me. In Jesus Christ, he has, and he will for all eternity. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.